This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. In our last episode, we finished the story of Salih alayhi salam. And in this week's episode, we're going to be discussing the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in the city of Babel, Iraq. And his people, when you look into their background, they were idol worshippers. In fact, his father was not just someone who worshipped idols, but he was also a carpenter, and his job was to make these idols and then to sell them. So he was not just worshiping them, he was making them and making the profit that he received his livelihood from selling these idols to the people. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, as the prophets, all of them, never joined in this, alhamdulillah. It was the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he protected all of the prophets so they didn't fall into shirk and they didn't worship. You see people who became Muslim from the followers, many of them used to worship. And you'll find some of them, like if you look in the story of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the likes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, who just like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he never took part in the worshiping of the asnam, of the idols and the statues. But others did, like Umar radiallahu anhu, and the majority of the Sahaba, and they were guided, alhamdulillah. But when it came to the prophets, Allah protected them from the time of their birth until prophethood, where they never worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave something very unique to the prophets, which all of us have, but the prophets, it pushed them more. It pushed them more to, you know, the issue of the fitrah, that natural inclination that all of us have inside. And we always talk about, you know, the fitrah and da'wah, and focusing when we give da'wah, we teach people about Islam, that we awaken the fitrah from within. And you see that the prophets, this is, it was a driving force for them, and it was one of the things that protect them from not falling in into shirk, subhanAllah. So this showed that one of the ways that Allah protect them was through the fitrah, through this fitrah, because they realized that this just doesn't make sense. It's not logic to worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim obviously was searching for the truth and went through different stages in his search for the truth until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him and he became a prophet. And because of the importance of the story of Ibrahim, it was mentioned in the Quran in 25 different chapters of the Quran. And he was mentioned, alayhi salam, in 69 different verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all of the believers when he said in the verse, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And mention in the book the story of Ibrahim. Indeed, he was a man of truth and a prophet. He was صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا, a man of truth and a prophet, alayhi salam. And we're going to mention the story, inshallah, in detail from the ayat of the Quran, from different chapters in the Quran. Also, something interesting, when you look into his story, all of the prophets that came after him, they were from his lineage. And his story is directly connected to other prophets in detail, like the story of Lut alayhi salam, and obviously the stories of his two sons, Ismail and Ishaq. And he obviously, you see the direct connection. And the direct connection, obviously, to our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, him being from the lineage of Ibrahim and from the lineage of his son Ismail alayhi salam. When he started his da'wah, very similar to the way our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam started his da'wah, and all of the prophets before started their da'wah, and that was calling the people to tawheed. But who did he start with? And it's very important, the lesson, which is he started with the aqrabin, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, to start with ashiratak al-aqrabin, to start with the close members of your family. So he started with his family first, focusing on his father, the love he had for his father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story to us in the Quran in detail in Surah Maryam from verses 41 to 48. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that story, when he said the verse we just mentioned earlier, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا, and the next verse, this is when it starts him speaking to his father. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ, when he said to his father, يَا أَبَتِي, oh my father. And this is a very important lesson just in how he spoke to his father. It's an important lesson when we speak to our parents, when we speak to our elders, and when we give da'wah in general. What is the wording that he used? He used the word abati. If I were to ask you, how do I say my father in Arabic? Almost all of you would tell me abi. And that's correct, my father. But abati, it is another way of saying my father. And it's a way of showing an intense kindness and love for your father. Just like when you look in the story of Luqman alayhi salam, when we in the story in Surah Luqman, we were making tadabbur the other day with the brothers in California with this surah. When he talked to his son, he didn't say ya ibni, my son, which is correct. He said ya bunay, which is the same style. Use it to be more compassionate when you speak. So this is a form of compassion, being compassionate, more compassionate and more loving towards his father. So he said ya abati, and this is a lesson for all of us when we give da'wah to speak with, you know, the words that are nice and people like to hear. Don't come off rough. Come off in a very nice style, a very kind and gentle approach. So, because what is the objective? The objective is that the people that they receive, and then inshallah ta'ala, they accept the message that we're giving them. He asked him a question. And all, if you remember, in all of our past lessons, all of the Anbiya, and this is one of the objectives, the key objectives, my dear brothers and sisters, of us studying these stories. Like we said, we don't want to just go through these stories just relaying ma'lumat, information, tariq, history. That's not the objective. It's true, that's one of the things we learn from these stories, but it's not the objective of studying these stories. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told us that in their qasas, in their stories, that there's ibrah, that there's lessons to be learned. All of the prophets, when they spoke to their people, they always talk where? To their mind, to their intellect, to get them to think. Because most of the people who are in a certain belief system, they're inside of the box. We need to get them to think outside of the box, to think for themselves. Because as you're going to see, it's going to come in the verses, why are they worshiping the idols? What are they going to say? They're going to say, we found our forefathers doing this. Every nation, all people do it. Now in England or in America, we grew up like this. That's what we found our people doing. Everyone says the same thing. Everyone has the same excuse. So here you see all of the prophets, like all the stories mentioned in the past, all of them talking to the intellect, trying to awaken the fitrah. They talk to the intellect, get them to think, so that fitrah that's inside, that natural inclination, that it'll turn on, and they'll realize, yeah, what are we doing? And you're going to see something amazing in this story and the different ayat, what I'm talking about in detail, inshallah ta'ala. He said to his father, لِمَا تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. He said, why do you worship that which doesn't yasma, it doesn't hear, and it doesn't yubsir, it doesn't see, and it doesn't yugni anka shay'a, and it doesn't benefit you in any way? I mean, it cannot give you any type of benefit. So now, his father is going to be doing what? He's going to stop. He's going to pause. What he's saying, it's logic. It makes sense. Then he goes on and speaks to him again. Once again, he speaks to him, and which title? He says, Ya Abati, Inni qad ja'ani min al-ilm. He said, verily it has come to me an ilm. Ma lam ya'tik, that which has not come to you. Fattabi'ni, so follow me, ahdika siratan sawiyya. I will guide you to the straight path. Follow me, come with me. Let me show you to the way. Allah has sent me the revelation. And this is very important. He's not saying this is something logic I've come up with. Once again, basing his arguments, his evidence, his proofs directly from the revelation. And this is what Allah wants from us in our da'wah, as Muslims in our worship, that we only worship through the revelation, what we find in the Quran and the Sunnah, on the understanding of who? The understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. This is our way as Muslims. But also when we relay the message to non-Muslims, that we relate in the same way, directly from the revelation. not coming up with, well, I see it like this. Well, you know, in my understanding, no, we don't care about your understanding. The only proper understanding is going to be taken directly from the revelation, how the Sahaba understood it. And don't think now that in the days that we live in, you're going to come with something slick and something, you know, cool, you know, something cute that's never been done before. Your style, says Sheikh's style, is cute. He comes with a different way. He's never come, you know, he's so, his intelligence, wow, you know. You're going to come with a way to represent Islam and to pass on the message of Islam in a way that was better than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the prophets before him and the companions, all the companions of all the prophets. They're the ones who are truly successful. When the Sahaba and those who follow their footsteps, when they spread Islam according to this understanding, look how far it spread. But when we start to put our two cents in, well, I see it like this, you know, the way I see it, I'm going to come up with a new way, I'm going to show them a different aspect, a different approach to Islam. I'm going to focus on this. And just like we mentioned before, the focus now on the scientific miracles in the Quran. Not saying that there aren't any scientific miracles in the Quran, but it's not the objective of the Quran. The objective of the Quran is a book of Huda. It's a book of guidance. The prophets, why didn't they focus? They focused on the core, on what it's about Tawheed. Look at Ibrahim, what he's focusing on. The first thing, his first question is about ibadah, your worship. Why are you worshiping this? Doesn't benefit you, doesn't do anything for you. He's telling him now, what I'm bringing to your abati. As we say now, ya habibi. It's very nice way of speaking, very soft, very compassionate. He's saying, ya abati. He says, this ilm, this knowledge that's come to me, it's come to me, it hasn't come to any, it's come from the revelation. It's not just something I've come up with myself. He says, so follow me with what I have, and you'll be guided to the straight path. You'll be guided to all that which is khair. All that's what's going to benefit you in this life and the next. And then he said to him once again, Ya Abati, in the next verse 44, Ya Abati, la ta'bud al-shaytan. Don't worship the shaytan. Why? Inna shaytana kana lirrahmani asiyya. That indeed the shaytan is to al-Rahman, the most merciful. He is asiyya, he is disobedient. And what does it mean, don't worship the shaytan? Because if you look at the ayah, so what are they worshiping? They're worshiping statues, not worshiping the shaytan himself. But who put this in their hearts? Who put this in their mind? Who called them to this? It's the shaytan. He's the one who laid out the shirk for them. He's the one who called them to the shirk. He's the one that convinced them to fall into shirk. Like, as we mentioned in the story of Nuh alayhi salam, that shaytan, he's very crafty and he's very patient. He lays the trap and he can wait for 100 years. We didn't fall into it. Maybe not even our grandchildren fell into it, but the ones that come after. And that's a very important lesson for us. And how he works in generations. And you'll see that the enemies of Islam, when they work with shaytan against Islam and the Muslims, they're putting, 10-year, 20-year, 50-year, 100-year plans against Islam and the Muslims. And if you were to ask us what we're doing for Islam and what our plan is, we don't know what we're doing next month, maybe not even next week. Some of us, maybe not even tomorrow. We don't know what we're doing for ourselves or for Islam. We're just going with barakah and hoping for the best. Subhanallah. They're planning properly. And this is a message for all of us that what's being laid down today with the issue of atheism, with the issue of certain groups, certain lifestyles, without mentioning any names or any letters, and all of us know what I'm referring to. Look how that was 30 years ago. If we were to tell you that 30 years from now, 20 years, even 10 years ago, that this is how it's going to be, and this is how it's going to be, we're going to be programmed, that you can't even say this. You can't, not that you can't say, you can't even think like this. If you, they think you think a certain way, then you're the outcast. You're this, you're that. The things that they teach our children in school now, they want to teach our children. And it just, you no way, even 2-3 years ago, you would have believed this. But look how they're planning. Look how they're planning. But Allah tells us in the Quran, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ الْخَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, that they plan and Allah plans, but Allah is the best of planners. But it's upon us to be on top of our game. And that's why if you look on my status, on WhatsApp. It's been there for years. I always keep this quote, one of my favorite quotes by our brother Malcolm X, rahimahullah, when he said, the future belongs to those who prepare for it today. The future belongs to those who prepare for it today. So the followers of Shaytan, they're preparing. So the people of Ibrahim, if you were to go back when they fell into shirk, it wasn't right away. No one's going to do something like that right away. It's a gradual process, steps. That's why in the Quran, Allah warns about the khutawat of Shaytan, the steps of Shaytan. Then he said to him in the next verse, Ya Abati. Still, he's still, Ali, look at the beauty, how he speaks to it. It's an amazing smile, very, very beautiful. Ya Abati, inni akhafu ayyamassaka azabun min ar-Rahmani fatakuna lish-shaytani waliya. He said that I'm scared that it will touch you, the azab, the punishment from Ar-Rahman, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّ, that you will be a companion of shaytan, meaning in the hellfire, that you're going to go to Jahannam with shaytan. What was the reply of Ibrahim's father to him? Now this is, as we said, he started his da'wah when? With who? With his family. And a lot of times, anything you do in life, if you fail the first time, a lot of times, and it's going to be very difficult for you to bounce back, be very difficult for you to learn, very difficult for you to continue. I was doing a podcast the other day with some of our youth, some of our brothers in Toronto, and we're talking about jiu-jitsu. One of the things about jiu-jitsu is very humbling. You know, the fact that you get, you know, beaten, smashed for about 6 months straight. You know, people you look at in the streets, I knocked this guy out, and he's just crushing you on the mat. Then eventually you start to get better. But why do most people quit? Because just that feeling of being defeated right away. So this is his first, you know, his first try with his father, one of the closest people to him. He's trying with his father to guide him. What's the result going to be? Is he going to be successful in his da'wah? This is very important because many people, we might try something in our da'wah and we fail, so we give up. We might try something, anything in life, we try and we give up. The brothers there in Newcastle, we're talking a lot about dieting. Brothers start with the diet, start to lose weight, start to exercise. Then they go back to the bad habits and they give up and they end up losing. It's consistency. Even if you fall, you bounce back. You bounce back. You take it on the chin. You keep going. So what's going to happen to Ibrahim? What does his father say to him? قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم. He said, have you rejected my gods, Ibrahim? Have you rejected my gods? My gods that I create with my own hands and that I worship, and my people worship, and all the people in worship. He said, do you reject our aliha, our gods? Then he told him, La in lam tantahi. He said, if you don't finish, what's he going to say to him? I'm going to kick you. I'm going to kick you out. I'm going to slap you. He said, La arjumannak. He said, I will stone you. I'm going to stone you to death. And it shows you, Eddie, how deep in kufr and disbelief the father of Ibrahim was, subhanAllah. Because a father and a son, the relationship they have, even if they're on different pages when it comes to their belief system, a lot of times you'll find that they let a lot of things slide because that's my son, even though he did that wrong. A lot of brothers let things slide when it comes to their fathers. I just remember now, subhanAllah, telling the story that one of our colleagues in Medina, he was very harsh with his brothers. And he looked at a lot of his brothers as being mubtadi'ah, as being innovators. And I think, you know the people I'm talking about. So he's just always talking about other people. So some of the brothers found out that his father, a religious figure in his own country, was someone who had deviated from the correct aqidah. He wasn't on the proper any creed or aqidah belief system of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah. That he, you know, so they said, we heard that your father was this, man. You're talking about everyone else. Your dad is back home calling this. And he became very angry. And he said, this is my father. Not one word. These are your brothers who you agree with them on 95% of the things. But when it came to this one issue, a couple issues, you throw them out and you talk about them night and day. But your dad, no, he gets a free pass. So that's usually how it is. And a lot of times people, that's how their nature, the father-son relationship, that they, you see those type of things where they won't let things slide. And they have that love and that for one another. But he's telling his own son that if you don't stop, لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ, if you don't stop what you're calling me to, لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, that I will stone you. Then he said to him, وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ, and then avoid me, for مَلِيَّ meaning for a prolonged time, stay far away from me, just get away from me. So he kicked him out, told him to get away, but he said, if you don't, I'll kill you, I'm going to stone you to death. SubhanAllah. What was the response of Ibrahim? Check out from the beginning, when he's saying, Ya Abati, giving us lessons as du'at of how to give da'wah. Softly, nice tone, using the proper words. He replies to him, Qala salamun alayk. He said, peace be unto you. Sa astaghfiru laka Rabbi. He said, I will seek forgiveness for you from my Lord. Innahu kan, inna Rabbi, innahu kana bi hafiyya. That indeed my Lord is ever gracious with me. So he's telling him, Salamun alayk, peace be unto you, giving him a soft and nice response. And that's very important, because a lot of times in the field of da'wah as well, we get attacked. A lot of times, even if we're not working in da'wah, the fact you're just a Muslim, or you're a Muslim and you're wearing your hijab, someone says something negative to me. So what, how should we reply? There might be certain stances where we might reply harshly, and that could be beneficial in some cases. And don't get me wrong, we don't want to use violence or to come back in a way that's better, because it's not what the Quran teaches us. But in some cases, when you have to stand up for yourself, just like we mentioned the stories of the Anbiya, if someone said something, they put them back in their place. We mentioned the story of Nuh and other stories, and we mentioned Hud, all of them, that they responded back. They didn't be like this, okay, you say something bad to me, I'm just going to let it slide, okay. No, they stood up and they replied back to them. They stood their grounds. So there are certain cases, but we reply with intelligence, we reply with hikmah, and a lot of times when you reply with a soft reply, this is what has the good impact. And I'll tell you, subhanAllah, from my own experience, and perhaps some of you have seen, I posted some of it on social media, this one lady, like it was about a year ago, she sent me some stuff, cursing me with words, and cursing Islam. Even the words she used, and I laughed about it. I said I have to give it to her. She was very creative, because of all the curse words I've ever heard, I've never heard this one before. I don't remember what it was now, but it was rather creative. I had to give it to her, But when I replied to her, I said, thank you for your support, and thank you for looking, more into Islam, and to learn more about Islam and our religion. And I sent her some links, and I said I pray for you, and all the best for you, and that in your search for the truth, that you'll find the truth. If there's anything else I can do for you, stuff like that, I replied to her. So she, and I've used this several times, and most of the time they never get back to you. And a lot of times, if they do, they might come back and they'll find that they've actually been guided. That your reply and how you replied to them was a source of guidance. That's why Allah commanded us in the Quran, وَإِذَا خَاطَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And if the ignorant people come to them, they say to them, سَلَامًا. They say any words of peace to them. Imam Ahmed, he said that someone was cursing and saying foul things to him. And he said, سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. The same thing, peace be unto you. This is the reply of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the command of Allah to say salam and to say peace to them, to be peaceful with them. And when we have this, we see the outcomes of how people, they change, they change how they look at Islam and how they look at the Muslims. So astaghfiru laka Rabbi, he said, I'm going to ask for forgiveness for you from your Lord. And I'm going to answer about this in a minute. And how can he ask forgiveness from his Lord if he is a non-Muslim? And then in the next verse, you'll see he said, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ. After he said, I'm going to seek forgiveness for you, he said, then وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. I'm going to free myself from you. I'm going to leave and turn away from you, not just from you, but also what you invoke. And that's one of the great lessons that we learn all throughout the Quran, several places, about Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he would free himself from his people and the actions of his people, he would automatically or right away also free himself from what they worshipped other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way of the Muslim, is that he distinguishes himself as a believer, that he makes clear, this is my belief, this is what I believe, this is what I'm upon. I'm a Muslim. This is what I'm not going to, change things so it can be socially acceptable. I'm not going to change things. So you like it. And so she likes it. And so this group and that group accepts me. My objective as a Muslim is that Allah accepts me. How many followers does Ibrahim have now? How many followers is he going to have during, you know, the beginning of his story? None. No one's following him. Obviously, his wife and this, maybe he has a couple, maybe small amount. But the majority and his family and this, they're all rejecting him. Did that make him change? Say, let me change my da'wah. Let me change the way I relay the message. Astaghfirullah. These are the prophets. So if they didn't change, and look how they're successful today. We're sitting here now, 1,400 years after the message of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how many, you know, thousands of years of the message of Ibrahim? Allahu A'lam, exactly how much. But we're relaying his story. How many of the people who watered down the religion and want to change the religion, want to, you know, so they could fit in, who's going to remember them? Who's going to remember them in history? Are they going to remember them as the person who was the Khain, the one who betrayed his religion, or maybe something like that? Or he won't be remembered at all, or won't be remembered for anything good. But when you have a stance, and we constantly remind our brothers and sisters, when you're someone who has a stance and you're someone who stands up for what you believe in and your principles, and you relay that message, you make it clear and you're happy. That's why Allah said, who is the best of the one who calls to Allah, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, he does good deeds, وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, he says that indeed, إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, I'm from the Muslims. I'm proud to be from the Muslims. It shows up in my actions, on my tongue. Back to the question, how can Ibrahim ask for forgiveness from his father, for his father, ask for forgiveness for his father, when his father was a disbeliever? Allah explained, this is the importance, brothers and sisters, of looking for the tafsir. Going back to the tafsir, understanding, not trying to understand with our understanding, but going back and looking, what does this mean in the tafsir? Because if you read this ayah from Surah Maryam, you might not understand. But if you go back to the other ayah, and how do we get the tafsir? We go back, or people might say the Arabic language, that's fourth in order. First of all, we go to the Quran. If we can find another ayah in the Quran which explains it, that's our first thing. If we can't find it there, then we go to the Sunnah. If we can't find it there, we go to the tafsir of the Sahaba, and then we use the Lugha Arabiya, the Arabic, as a tool to help us with this. A tool to help us get a better understanding. But these are our sources right there. So we go back to the other ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 114, when Allah said, وَمَا كَانِ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ, that the istighfar, as seeking forgiveness, a request for the forgiveness for Ibrahim, for his father, إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّا, إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ, it was only on a maw'idah, a promise that he had given it to him. He said in the verse that we heard before, Surah Maryam, that he's going to ask for his forgiveness. So this is his maw'idah, this is his wa'd, his promise that he gave to his father. But then Allah said, look at the Anbiya. Didn't come now, who said, oh, it's my dad, man. No, talk about my dad. You know, he said, فَلَمَّا تَبَيِّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ, when it became clear to him, تَبَيِّنَ لَهُ, that he is عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ, that he's عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ, that he's a adu, an enemy to Allah, تَبَرَّأَ مِنْ, that he freed himself from him. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Not just to confirm that there's no deity worthy of worship, but any, also to negate anything that's falsely worshipped with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah said about Ibrahim alayhi salam at the end of this verse, Inna Ibrahima la'awwahun halim. The word awwah, what does it mean? The lam in front of it obviously is for ta'keed, to put emphasis. Indeed, Ibrahim la'awwahun halim. The lam is for, we said ta'keed, which is to put emphasis. Awah, the word awah, if you look in the tafsir of Muhsin Khan, he said there's 15 different meanings for it. But what's the clear meaning is that he is someone who, you know, turns to Allah in repentance and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking for forgiveness and returning to Allah. This is one of the main meanings of the word awah. And halim, that, you know, he's forbearing, that he's able to control himself at the time of anger, alayhi salatu wasalam. What happened later in the story of Ibrahim? What was his da'wah? Because he started with his father, and now he's going to go public to his people, and then he's going to come up with a master plan to prove to them what they're doing is falsehood and batil. Inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about that in next week's lesson, inshallah ta'ala. Until then, Allahu alam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa jazakum Allahu khairan, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.